Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Moscow, Russia, and earned a Master of Fine Arts degree from the Surikov Academy of Fine Arts. He began his formal art education at age 9, and for 30-plus years, he's been a world-renowned artist known for his commissioned portraits of global leaders and celebrities, including Pope Benedict XVI, Vladimir Putin, Rudy Giuliani, Brian Mulroney. His name? Maestro Igor Babilov. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the Vatican's papal artist, Maestro Igor Babilov. Maestro, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Well, my experience in the arts began very early because my father was an artist, and so I grew up in a family with lots of creativity. And actually, my father was not just a fine artist, he was also a musician. So I was exposed to the music, piano music, all the time when I grew up. And at the age of 9, I entered the art school. So that's how my formal fine art education began. And since that time, since the age of 9, I was already started to draw at that time. I remember the statues from the Michelangelo slaves, and the whole education was really like in the tradition of the masters of the Renaissance. So we did the sculptures, and we drew them, we painted them, and then we progressed into the nature and the portraits eventually. And, my mom was a chemistry teacher, so that's it's not as far, I guess, from the arts, because as we know that the art of the Renaissance masters was very closely attached to the science, because they had to study anatomy and perspective and all the sciences and art. All to say, I was very fortunate that I was exposed to that support, the moral support from my parents since the early age.
Since for the first 25 years of your life, you lived in Russia under the communism rule. Igor, describe what life was like in Russia under communism.
Well, it's first of all, it's of course at the time you wouldn't realize where you are when you grow up and as a child, and you wouldn't realize the kind of system you lived in. And I can say that I had a happy childhood, like every kid almost, or most of the children. And we had a great education, but then at the same time, we always felt a little bit of the restrictions in freedom, particularly. So certain things you couldn't paint, for example, you had to get a special permission from the authorities, especially if it would be, I remember there is one case when I drew the factory, the view from our bridge over the river, and in the far background, I drew the chimneys of the factory, which was the closed, They used to call it factory. It was military probably, who knows. And when I showed it proudly to my dad, asking, just expecting his opinion and perhaps encouragement and how good it was done, in my opinion, I was probably about 8 years old and maybe even earlier. And so my dad, his immediate reaction was, he said, don't do it anymore. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you're not supposed to do this. You have to really get a special permission to do that. So that was, I remember the first time I was kind of exposed to that, to those limits, what you could and what you couldn't do. So, so that's about my perception at the time of the, you know, where I lived. Of course, you realize that clearly when you leave the system, that system of socialism. And when I came to the United States and I saw immediately the contrast of how people lived here and how free they were in everything, including your expression of, you know, your verbal expression, your artistic expression. So I could see, you know, like everything else, I guess, we learn about the world by in seeing the contrast in comparison to things.
How was it your family came to America when you were 25?
Well, actually, I came on my own. In fact, I never flew even on a plane at that time, so that was my first experience to be on a plane. So I just bought the ticket, and well, of course, it wasn't easy just to buy the ticket. You had to have the money to buy the ticket because, for example, the average salary of the Soviet citizen was 150 rubles, and the cost of the ticket was 2,500 rubles. So basically, you could tell it was impossible for a common person to buy a ticket and to leave the country. But I was fortunate to have a few very good portrait commissions at the time, and commissioned to me by a few members of the elite in Moscow. And so I was able to leave the country, and so that's how it happened. That's when my new life began.
We're talking to Maestro Igor Babalov. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the world's fascination with art. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Master Igor Babalov. Igor, how do you explain the world's fascination with art?
Well, I think that we all, every person needs to be exposed to beauty, and art was always, it's the kind of word, it's the kind of meaning that always traditionally been attached to the meaning of beauty. And this is exactly what I learned in school, is to reproduce, to represent the beauty of God's creation in my works, just like the great masters did in the past. Because that's what the art was representing the beauty of God's creation. We have all kinds of different movements and styles these days, and quite often due to the relativism, they've been questioned too, like, for example, what the beauty is. But it's for everyone, it's basically kind of a clear question, like what's beautiful and what's not beautiful, or in other words, what's ugly. So there's basically two things, beauty and ugliness. And in my opinion, the artist's mission is to represent the beauty, and in particular beauty of God's creation. Like when the people say you have a gift from God, that means you got that gift from God to represent that beauty. And you have, in a way, certain responsibilities as an artist to represent that beauty. And, well, I guess every artist has a choice, and some, like everyone chooses to paint whatever they want to paint, and I chose to paint beauty. And in particular, in my work, it's representing the most perfect God's creation, which is a human being. And that's what I've been doing.
If you want to learn more, babilov.com, BABAILOV.com. I quote you now, Maestro. Do we see the world around us, or do we just look at it? What's the difference between seeing and looking?
Well, in many of us, we think we see the objects the around us, the life around us, the world around us. But in reality, many of us, we just look at that. So it's like basically like we looking at the object and say, like, this is the car, or this is a tree, the cloud, the building. So in reality, we think we see it, but we actually just look at that. And we're not analyzing really what it is in front of us. And but this is something that has been recognized for centuries, and in particular, before all these high-tech gadgets came in the picture, like computers and iPhones and so on, and cameras. There was in the curriculums of every school, it was mandatory to have the drawing classes, because it was recognized that through drawing, particularly through drawing, the person could really learn and understand what was in front of the person. And so basically that's this is what I do in my, like, let's say in my classes. I teach at Catholic University of America. I teach business students. And that just tells you that anyone can draw, and you don't have to be an artist, because this is something given to us by God. It's like we have that potential in every one of us. Actually, we have not just that potential; we have a talent, and we have the genius of someone like Leonardo da Vinci. And this is why my course is called the Da Vinci Course of Innovation and Creativity. So what I do, I teach people, regardless of their gifts, so-called gifts and so-called talents, that in art, I teach them to see the world. Because when you draw, you really realizing, you're understanding what it is in front of you. It's like reading the book versus, let's say, looking for the answer for immediate answer on Google. It's like you Google and you get the answer immediately, and 5 minutes later you forget it. But let's say if you read the book, it stays in your memory, it files in your brain, and that's what the real computer is, your brain. It files there forever. Same with drawing. When you start drawing, and then it's like it stays in you. You memorize this, and then you start looking at the world with different eyes, so to speak. So this is the difference, I would say, between looking and seeing, and how every one of us is able to achieve that that ability to see instead of just look.
We're talking to Maestro Igor Babilov, world-renowned portrait artist, who's done over 2,000 portraits. I quote you again, Igor. A great portrait painting stands far beyond photography. Why?
Well, photography, if you think about this, what it is, it's basically, it's what the camera does, it captures the second of a lifetime. And So it's in a way a cold-blooded tool, like roughly speaking, that captures everything what you wanted to capture, what you don't want it to capture. The best photographer in the world would have to take 200, for example, 200 photographs before they would select one to be happy about that. So, like, for example, there was a great world-renowned photographer, Josef Karsh, I should say, the correct pronunciation. He's the one who did this famous portrait images. They are usually black and white portrait images of the world leaders like Kennedy, Hemingway, and Castro, and
Winston Churchill. Yes.
Exactly, and I was just coming to that. And one of the most famous and recognizable was Winston Churchill. That was the official photograph that he did in the House of Commons when Churchill visited Canada. That photographer, Josef Karsh, he would take many hundreds of photographs before he would be satisfied with a few or just one of them. So it's like we really like at the mercy of camera, because camera reacts on very sensitively to, let's say, changes of light, all kinds of little things, and it has no ability to select like the artist does. So if with a strong background, like educational background, and studying the masters and the sciences and arts such as anatomy, you get to the point that you can reproduce what you see in front of you in a particular person, like let's say in portraiture, and that it will have so much more in it, not just capturing the second of a lifetime, but the whole life of the person. And this is why I say that it goes far beyond photography, portraiture.
We're talking to Maestro Igor Babalov, world-renowned portrait artist. When we come back, we'll ask him about the time he spent with some of these world-famous people as they sat and he painted. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Maestro Igor Babalov. Maestro, you were blessed to be able to do a portrait for Saint Pope John Paul II the Great. When you were in his presence, what did you think?
Initially, when I was commissioned to do the portrait, that was done in 2003, and Pope John Paul II was already very ill at the time, as we know, with his Parkinson, and because he passed away just 2 years later in 2005. So in 2003, he wasn't able to sit for me, and I was provided the photographs from the Vatican archives. You can see that portrait on my website also, the babailov.com. And so a lot of images, and it's a multi-figurative portrait where the John Paul II stands in the middle and he's surrounded by the youth, which I created entirely from my imagination, every one of them. The portrait was dedicated to the World Youth Days, which was founded by the Holy Father. And then after it was unveiled in several places, and then it was presented to the Holy Father, and I had the blessing to meet him. And the experience was just unforgettable, just incredible. Well, I have to say that after the meeting with him in the audience and having the audience with him, I was I was so overwhelmed by, I don't know what it was. It's just incredible feeling, indescribable almost. I remember his eyes. He was looking at me like he wasn't even looking at me. He was looking through me. Almost, I felt those were the bluest eyes, the bluest color I've ever seen in my life. It was as blue as the sky. They were so clean and pure. And after the audience, I remember when I was the audience outside, and all of a sudden I felt that I couldn't stop, but I started to cry. And I have to say, it was so touching, the whole experience. And I don't know what it was, but I was truly in the presence of saint. And it was just a blessing to have met him and to be able to paint his portrait.
You've done over 2,000 portraits, including Vladimir Putin, Pope Francis, Nelson Mandela, and you love to paint children. Maestro, why?
I think that I always look at the, well, first of all, being an artist, you have to be able to be fascinated by everything around you. In these days, it's like quite often artists they kind of put themselves in separate categories of portrait artists, landscape artists, still life artists, animal artists. Some portrait artists separate themselves in like let's say the artists for adults, artists for children, and again just being in certain categories, but. To me, it's and just like for the great masters in the past, when you go to museums and you see some, let's say, family portraits where there would be adults and children, and there will be a landscape, and there will be a dog next to them, and a cat, and some kind of still life in the background. So it's like the artist painted everything. But in particular, like the children, it's something I always say, like what can be more special than children in our life? And because of the beauty of that innocence, it's like those in that age, you know, people don't lie, like the children don't lie. I mean, they are what they are. Sometimes even like it's not just the expression of the face, but how natural it is. But it's also, let's say, if you're painting the children's hands, they can they put the hands in such way that the adult would never dream about. The adult would try to make that to hold the hands that way, and they wouldn't be able to. But for children, they do it naturally. Everything is so natural and true to life. There is no game. There is no like theater anywhere when it comes to child. It's all who they are. And for me, capturing that innocent soul and that beauty of the child, it's so fascinating for me as an artist always.
Many of the maestro's most famous paintings are compiled in the manuscript Greatest Portrait Moments. If you want to learn more about it, go to babilov.com, babilov.com. Let's talk about some of the masters. One being Michelangelo and the Sistine Chapel. What made him so special?
Well, in my opinion, that there were so many great artists at that time, and there was of course a great competition between them too. Like let's say Michelangelo and Raphael and Leonardo da Vinci. they all lived at the same time, and they were competing with each other, but they were competing for the quality almost. And in their work, the quality was the first thing, and the mastery. And someone like Michelangelo, who, as we know, he was a great sculptor and an architect, and a draftsman, of course, like the older actually. He attempted that incredible challenge to be a sculptor, you know, to become a painter all of a sudden, like it was in the case with the Sistine Chapel. And of course, you know, it's like, you know, not to mention the challenges he would have to face painting the ceiling. But in the end, you know, it's like it's the same probably, whether it's a painting or a sculpture or the architecture, because he was one of the designers of the St. Peter Cathedral, as we know. It's all about praising to God's creation. And this is what I think is missing today in today's art and amongst the artists quite often, is to praise the God's creation. Because I think when you have that mission, and it also helps you to create beauty. And that's what we know, the Sistine Chapel, and its author Michelangelo, and all those great masters, because they all were very religious too at the same time. So it's, I guess it goes side by side, you know, the faith and creating the beauty.
The Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris, how do you explain its fascination worldwide?
The whole piece, of course, itself is it's a magnificent masterpiece, just like all the others by Leonardo da Vinci. Although it's, I'm sure, the commercial side of today's world, when they, you know, publicize a painting all the time on TV, in the media, in they put it on commercial things, like even on the candy wraps, you know, so that kind of gives that PR, you know, to the piece. But it's a magnificent piece. I remember at the Louvre first time, and naturally I went. One of the first things I went to see was Mona Lisa, and which was historically, you know, that was painted. And their subject was just an ordinary woman from the street. Her name was Mona Lisa, and then later the painting received the additional title Gioconda. But I guess everything in when it comes to representation of a human being particularly the masters like Leonardo da Vinci, they were very it's almost like painting it's painting a sacred subject.
We're talking to the maestro Igor Babilov, who has a special heart in his soul, a place in his soul, for Malta. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about Malta. And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to a living master, the maestro Igor Babalov. Igor, you're going to lead a tour, a culture tour, an art tour, next June to Malta. Tell us about Malta.
Yes. First time I went to Malta a couple of years ago with my wife, and there was a spontaneous kind of a tour, because it was we were invited by the president of Malta for an event, and so we went there just for a week, for 1 week, and we were so fascinated by that place, by that country, that we absolutely fell in love with it. And I remember by the time we came back to the United States, and almost the following day, we booked another trip for the following year. And the next year, we went already, we stayed for a month, for the whole month. It was, that place is something out of this world, almost. It's before I went to Malta, I had an impression that it would be something like something a little bit of Italy, something a little bit of Greece, probably, because it's right in the middle of the Mediterranean, and it's just below Sicily, and it's close to those countries. So I thought they would be like something like that. But Malta is really a combination of so many things, of so many cultures, and it's of course the main thing, historic thing about Malta, that it's probably one of the most Catholic countries on earth after the Vatican, and its history goes back to the 58 AD. Was when St. Paul had the shipwreck by the coast of Malta. And in fact, just a few days ago, about 3-4 days ago, I heard on the news that they found the anchor from the shipwreck of the St. Paul when he had that shipwreck there. And so it's amazing. And they have the Malta is it's a small country. It's an island. It has only about 450,000 people population, but it has over 360, I believe, churches in there. So there are a huge amount of churches, and some of them have actually, many of them have recorded miracles in them. When you're in Malta, you just feel that it's such an incredible presence of history. It's like every stone has a history there, and of course, going back to St. Paul, and then the Knights of Malta, and the Great Siege. As you know, the first Great Siege. When the Maltese knights were defending Malta from the Ottoman Empire, it's of course it's so beautiful, the landscapes, the views, it's just an amazing place to be. It's the works of art, paintings, sculptures, that amazing architecture. Then the influence, there's a huge influence of because of the Arabs in Sicily, and then Arabs being for some time in Malta, there's some influence of the Arabic language. And interestingly enough, that Maltese people are the only nation on earth, Christian nation on earth, in which language God sounds like Allah, believe it or not. It has a huge influence of Great Britain, because of the British influence for many years there. And during the Second World War, there was the Air Force Base, British Air Force Base. In this, the streets, the English is one of the also one of the official languages, and next to Maltese, so any English-speaking person will be very comfortable there with English language, and all the signs in English. They, interestingly enough, that they drive just like in England. They drive on the left-hand side. They drive very fast too. Just like in Italy, so it's a challenge for drivers, but it's just an incredible place. I've seen. I remember it going back to the history of 5,000 plus 6,000 years ago, when actually it was started to populate that island. And you can see in some places. I remember seeing the footprint of a 12-year-old Neanderthal boy. I mean, it's amazing when you experience this kind of things. It's actually, you're looking at that, like, right in front of you, real. It just was really so well preserved in the rock, that footprint of a little boy. It's, it's just amazing place, absolutely amazing place. Anyone who goes to Malta, they want to come back, and I'm fortunate that just looking forward to lead the group to Malta next June. So it's it's also on my website. You can see the little banner there about the trip, and it links to the corporate travel which organizes this tour. So I welcome everyone to join me on that tour. And actually, we're going to also touch one of the things we're going to do. I'm going to introduce and to share my knowledge about seeing the world versus just looking at it. And Malta, of course, that place to do that.
The website again is babailov.com. Maestro, thanks very much for sharing your amazing and inspiring story. It was an honor to have you.
Thank you very much.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.